Welcome to A Magical Life, Health, Wealth and Weight Loss. I'm your host, Magic Barclay, lead practitioner at Holistic Natural Health Australia and number one best-selling author. In this podcast, I aim to give you practical tips on how to accelerate and sustain your health, increase your financial, spiritual and emotional wealth, and to look at something that haunts many of us needlessly, weight loss. In some episodes, I'll have guests available to give you even more tips, but in others, the floor is yours. Drop us a line at A Magical Life Podcast on Facebook and let me know what you would like to know more about. Now, sit back and enjoy, because it is time for you to create and truly discover a magical life. Welcome back to A Magical Life. I'm your host, Magic Barclay. And today I'm joined by the gorgeous Leslie Davis. Leslie had several major incidents in her life where she realized that she had to make a choice. Keep going the way she was or start living her best life. She decided to start living her best life. That meant that she decided to get healthy mentally, physically, and emotionally. She adopted a philosophy of why not? She doesn't want to be an 80-year-old sitting in a rocker on her front porch saying, I wish I would have. Leslie has now published 5 books, finishing her 6th book and working on a 7th. She's taken up scuba diving, hot air ballooning, and deadlifting. She even rode an elephant in Africa. She's a wife, a mother, and doing her best to help other people learn to put their own oxygen masks on and start living their best lives. Fantastic. Welcome, Leslie.
Well, thank you so much, Magic. I am so excited to be here and excited to get to talk to your listeners.
We're so excited to have you. Now, tell me, I love deadlifting too. Hot air ballooning, scuba diving. Tell me, why do these things? Have they always been like on your bucket list and you decided, as you said, you know, life's too short, let's do it?
Yes, I became fascinated with hot air balloons when I was very young because I would see them, you know, floating in the air, and they're always so colorful and so magical looking. But what's really crazy is I had this horrific fear of heights. So when we went on the first hot air balloon ride, I figured out how I was going to escape from the basket without anybody realizing it. And by the time I finished my escape plan, my mental preparation of my escape plan, we were off the ground and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so incredible. I never want to come down. So, and then the scuba diving, I've always been, I love the ocean, everything in the ocean, and what better way to spend time and with the ocean than to be under the water. And my favorite part about the whole thing is nobody can talk to you and there are no telephones down there.
I love that. Scuba diving is on my list, and I also want to go cage diving with sharks. I think that would just be so exhilarating.
Well, you're in Australia, so you get the really, really big, those things called great whites. I mean, I'm just off the coast of Texas. We get hammerheads and no great whites. So I'll let you do the cage dive with the great whites first, and you can tell me all about it, and then I will go try it.
No worries. I'll send you that message. Not a problem. Now, tell me about these books that you've written, because you've been writing for so long. What messages do you like to tell people?
My favorite message is that people are enough. What I discovered when I essentially collapsed trying to figure out, you know, which way am I going to go, is that I had a myself-sized hole in my heart that I was always trying to fill with food, is what I was trying to do. And on my journey, I discovered that there are a whole lot of other people out there who are just like me. They were putting themselves last. They were doing everything they possibly could with the exception of taking care of themselves. And the reason that they were doing that is they were trying to fill something inside of them. And what I discovered on the journey is you can't fill anything with anything other than learning to love yourself. And so that's my biggest message is, you know, if you're not brave enough to love yourself right now, I will be brave for you while you learn how to be brave enough to love yourself and put yourself first. And that's one of the things that I like about your message to people. Especially I was listening this afternoon to your message about how we speak about other people and talking about, you know, when you're pointing one finger out, three fingers are pointing back. I thought that was so powerful. And it was a reminder to me of what I had to start doing, because oftentimes the person that we speak the worst about is ourself. And part of what I like to help people learn is how to retrain the way you speak to yourself so that you're speaking to yourself kindly, the way that you would your very best friend in the whole wide world. So your message really resonated with me today when I was listening to it.
Thank you. That's lovely to hear. And yes, I completely agree that there often is a U-shaped hole in yourself. And that's when I wrote my book, Stop Being Fat, Love Yourself Skinny, which was not about weight loss. Everyone thinks it's a how-to weight loss book. It's not. It's about loving who you are in the skin that you're in. And if you want to lose weight, look at the factors that are stopping you. And the first one is how you feel about yourself. So I love your message. It really resonates with me. Thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome. And, you know, my book is the same way. It's not about a diet. It's not about what to eat, even though I do provide some tips and tricks in there. Mostly, as you said, you know, it's filling that U-sized shape hole in your heart. And I call it the myself-sized hole in my heart. Because when I recognized that, that was like a ginormous aha moment. This is what I'm trying to do. And once I recognized that and started tackling the hard way, the hard path of learning to love myself, that was when the real transformation started, because then I wasn't using food to compensate. I wasn't using food to stuff down my real feelings. And as a consequence, I was able to shed almost 100 pounds and keep it off, which to me is incredible because, you know, losing weight is easy. It's the keeping it off that's hard.
Totally. And I myself have yo-yoed a fair bit once I lost a whole lot of the weight. I kept it off till menopause hit me. And then it was like learning who I am all over again. And I'm in that process now. And it's probably more cathartic now in menopause, knowing who I am, that I'm not just a mum or a friend or a partner. I'm me, and I'm this person that has now done my job of providing life. So I can actually really just focus on me. And that's a really big thing. A lot of women get to this point of menopause and go, oh no, the weight's back. I failed at everything I did before. But you have to realize you're a completely different person now. And you just put in process the things that you did before, but seeing yourself a different way and respecting yourself a different way.
Well, exactly. And oftentimes people, when they're hitting menopause, they have lost a lot of what they consider to be their identity. You know, their children have grown, their children have gone off to college. If they're not totally out of the house, they're probably in high school or something like that. And so they're transitioning out of who they thought they were into, oh my gosh, who am I now? And then you have, you know, the women who may not have children, they're at the stage in their business career, their life career, where they're thinking, okay, you know, I've done all of these amazing things. What's left? And I feel like, you know, you sit kind of at a precipice. Which way am I going to go? And we just simply need to rediscover who we are. And that's one of the things that I'd like to talk about, you know, putting your own oxygen mask on first. Because, and the reason I say that is in this society, and it has been, you know, the same through the millennia, we as women especially are taught that we should not be first. We should put everybody else's needs wants, fears, emotions ahead of ours. And all of a sudden, I mean, this happened to me. I realized, you know, what I had been doing to myself. I'd been stuffing down all that stuff, and I didn't know who I was or what I was feeling. And when I started putting myself first, now that does not mean that you are selfish and you push to the front of the line or anything like that. What that means is you take a moment and you say to yourself, what am I feeling right now? If you're feeling sad, then you say to yourself, you know what, right now I'm feeling sad, and that is okay. If you're feeling happy, you say, you know what, right now I'm feeling happy, and that is okay too. All you're doing is checking in with yourself, and then you can take care of everybody else. And we have to relearn and go against what society and what a lot of people around us expect. And that's where it can get difficult. So we need some kind of support system and belief in ourselves so that we can do those hard things.
Agreed. And when my kids were little, you know, we'd catch a flight to somewhere to go on holiday or something, and I would get really angry when the safety message came on about the oxygen mask. I would think, no way am I depriving my babies of oxygen for even a second. Like, I would literally want to jump up out of the chair and strangle the hostie, because I was, how dare you tell me my kids can't put oxygen on? And it really took a lot for me to realize why they say that, because if I don't have oxygen, I can't help the kids. And I think I went through a lot of my early motherhood life as doing everything for everyone else, and I really lost who I was. So that's a really important message to people. If you get nothing else out of the first 10 minutes of our chat, put your oxygen mask on.
Well, and I say to people, I mean, this was kind of an aha moment. I mean, I've flown quite a bit, and I, like you, I mean, I'd get really, well, actually, I would get annoyed with the messages. I'm like, yeah, right, you know, I need to know to buckle my seatbelt and oxygen mask and all that kind of stuff. And I stumbled across something on the internet. You know, if it's on the internet, it's true. But anyway, in this case, it is true. You have 30 seconds. When that oxygen mask drops, you've got about 30 seconds. And I was like, wow, no wonder they tell you to put yours on first. So then I started looking at the points in my life when I'd been putting other people's oxygen masks on for them. And no wonder I had nothing left. So when I came to this realization, I would say to people who would come to me with the same similar circumstance, and I would say, you know what? You have to put your own oxygen mask on first, because if you're busy helping everybody else, that plane is going to land, you're going to be laid out in the middle of the aisle, and all those people are going to step over you, and they're going to say, there's that nice person who helped me, and where are you going to be? And I know that sounds harsh, but the truth is, where are you going to be? Those people are going to move on. They're going to live their lives. And where are you going to be? And if nothing else, I hope that you can understand why it is so important to take care of yourself first. And it's not being selfish, which is what so many people will try and tell you. Well, you're being selfish if you're taking care of yourself first. No, actually, I'm not. I can't take care of you if I have nothing to give.
Totally. And I look back on, you know, previous chapters in my life and the people that I've helped, and I look around and go, but where are they now? They got what they needed and they're gone. And I think a lot of women especially kind of hit that 40s, 50s age group and go, where did everyone go? Like, here I am. I need some help. I need some support. Where's my tribe? So I think it's really important, by doing things like this podcast, that we create that tribe and give people a safe place to meet fantastic practitioners like yourself. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. And I 100% agree. When we are so busy helping other people, they get what they need from us and they move on. And then when we need help, there isn't anyone around. And the message of your podcast, which I really enjoy, is building a tribe and, you know, connecting people to people, which is so important, especially for people who don't understand how important it is to connect. Because, you know, one of the things that I realized is when I'm busy running around helping other people, I'm not connecting with those people. I'm not really listening to what it is that they're struggling with. What I'm doing is I'm busy solving problems. Well, once you've solved a problem, you just move on to the next problem, right? You don't stick around and say, you know, the stories around the campfire where you talk about, do you remember that time when we XYZ, because there is really no we, it was an I solved your problem. So of course, you know, we're left alone and we're looking for more people to help, but they're really, the people are fewer and fewer that we can help. So anyway, I'm very grateful that you are building a tribe with the people who are listening to your message.
Thank you so much. Now let's get into these questions. I ask every guest the same questions, and I'm always amazed by the variety of answers that I get. So here goes. Leslie, what can your expertise do to accelerate health? When we're talking health, we're not just talking physical, but we're looking at emotional and spiritual as well.
Well, I believe that because my main emphasis is on helping people learn to love themselves, I can really help them with their emotional and spiritual life, and that leads to an improvement in their physical life. When we are young, we are taught, if we say we are sad, people will say back to us, well, you shouldn't feel X, Y, Z. So we, you know, we have a dissonance as to how we are actually feeling. So I help people learn to recognize and name their emotions and confront them so that they realize that it is okay. The more we try and stuff them down, the more damage they do to us. And I also help people remove the word should from their vocabulary and don't let other people should all over them. And the spiritual piece of it, I reached out to God, and God is who really helped me, because I didn't have very good parents. My parents were okay people, but they were not very parental. So God is, you know, my father. He loves me unconditionally, because I discovered that what I felt that I was lacking was unconditional love in a safe place. So by learning to love myself, I was able to connect really with God and with all the other words that he has to say to me. But additionally, as I became stronger emotionally and recognizing that I was not going to die or it wasn't going to hurt me to experience emotions, then I had more room inside of me to grow spiritually. But the biggest benefit from all of that, and this sounds absolutely crazy, the biggest benefit was that physically I was getting stronger and healthier. And I, in retrospect, the reason I was able to get stronger physically is I was no longer harming my body trying to stuff down the emotions and trying to deny what I was really feeling. And also, I was no longer afraid to reach out to the one who was always right there with me. And that's really what my book is about, You Can't Eat Love. It's about learning to love yourself and live your very best life.
That is beautiful. Now, when we were talking off air, you mentioned, this is probably going to sound controversial, but that you were able to set aside your drug of choice. Now, for many people, they believe that drugs are just illicit drugs or alcohol or cigarettes, but often food is that drug. So can you tell us how you did that?
Oftentimes, when we go on a weight loss journey, you're given tips and tricks. And among those tips and tricks are, don't eat when you feel stressed. Okay, that sounds very practical, but I believe that that advice came from someone who never struggled with their weight. They never struggled with binge eating. They never struggled with secret eating. I struggled with all of that kind of stuff. And whenever I would take a walk or do deep breathing exercises, it did not take care of the problem which was that I was wanting to eat everything inside the pantry and the refrigerator. So in doing the hard work of being able to name my emotions, sit in the emotions, honor my emotions, I realized that the drive to go and eat and clean out the pantry and the refrigerator was starting to decrease. And the more that I honored my emotions, the more that I became not content, but the more that I became able to sit in them, the less compelled I was to go for that thing that was going to, quote unquote, make me feel better. Now, how many times have you heard people say, I'm a stress eater? Well, they're really not a stress eater. What they're doing is they're trying to put a Band-Aid on top of that stress because they don't want to confront it. They don't want to deal with it. And that's what I was doing. So when I would feel sad, when I would feel angry, when I would feel stressed, you know, what I would do is, you know, look for the chips, look for the cookies, look for the candy, look for anything that wasn't nailed down and extremely unhealthy, in order to stop that feeling. So it was really a revelation to me that this was my drug of choice. This is what I was using to stop the pain. And it wasn't until I got brave enough and strong enough to confront the pain, to sit in the pain, that the food, my drug of choice, started losing its power over me. Now, I will say this. There are still are times when I get so overwhelmed that I will head for the pantry and start trying to eat whatever the heck I can get my hands on. But the difference between then and now is I will catch myself and I will say, okay, what is really going on? Let's take a moment. Let's take a deep breath. What's really going on? And I may get out pen and paper and just start writing down, you know, having a conversation with myself about what's really going on. And I can feel that drive, that urge to eat all that food going away. And the reason is I'm confronting what it is I'm dealing with.
That's a really important message. Myself, I had anorexia when I was younger. And so I punished myself with withholding food. And then once I had the kids, I became a binge eater. So I punished myself with eating food. And, you know, you can go either side and backwards and forwards. At the core of the issue is how you feel about yourself and really handling that emotion. As you said, not just putting a Band-Aid over the stress or the emotion, but looking at why this is happening. Why is it triggering you? And, you know, food is just as dangerous as any other drug out there. And it's really knowing that that is the thing that you've got to look at, that you can't keep punishing yourself. You have to respect yourself and really have that hard conversation with yourself.
Exactly. Because whether you withhold the food or you binge on the food or you, you know, do whatever with the food, then moments later, the shaming comes into it. And I discovered that I was shaming myself a whole lot. Well, nobody ever accomplishes anything if they're shamed. I mean, I'm sorry, but nobody accomplishes anything if they're shamed. If a child makes a mistake and you don't encourage them or say, you know, okay, so you made a mistake, what can we learn from this? Instead, if you shame them, well, then the child is like, okay, well, I'm not going to let them know that I did that again. You know, but there is no resolution to the problem. And shaming can be just as dangerous as so many other things. And I will say that one trick that I did learn, and I learned this by trial and error, is when I'm feeling that heightened emotion, especially sadness and anger, if I grab for something that's high in protein, and one of my favorite go-tos is non-fat Greek yogurt with some fruit, if I go for something that's high in protein, it seems to help settle whatever chemistry eruption is going off in my body so that I can have a moment to breathe. But the problem is we've got to stop and not shame ourselves, be kind to ourselves, because we're not supposed to be perfect at all. None of us are supposed to be perfect. How do you ever learn anything? If you never make a mistake, you never learn a single thing. So when you go on these journeys, especially with regard to your weight, let's face it, we're surrounded by food, we're surrounded by people, we're surrounded by events. Here in the US, we've got Labor Day coming up on Monday. That's another major food event. We just have to do the best that we can, have conversations, and then accept that we did the best that we can. No shaming.
Totally. And just on that chemistry issue. So when you're under stress, your adrenals have to produce your hormones. They have to keep you alive. They have to stop the saber-toothed tiger eating your carcass as you're trying to run from it. So basically, when you go for the high sugar, high fat foods, you're overloading your adrenals. So cortisol itself, the stress hormone, is made of sugar. So when you intake those high fat, high carb, high sugar foods, you are putting excess load on your adrenal glands and they can't keep you alive. So what do? They find all this extra stuff that you don't need and they store it as fat. But they don't just store it as visible fat. They wrap it around all of your arteries, your veins, damages your neural pathways, so your nerves, and it slows you down. Because again, it has to put it somewhere just to keep you alive. And sometimes slowing you down keeps you alive. So that's the chemistry behind that.
That's really important. That very, very enlightening, extremely enlightening. That is the clearest explanation I've heard of it. As I said, I just discovered it under trial and error. But thank you so much for that explanation. Wow. Now I have a clear understanding as to what is going on and why the protein works.
Totally. So yeah, you were right. Now, Leslie, what are your top three tips to creating wealth? When we're talking wealth, it's not just finances, but also personal and emotional wealth.
The first thing is, which I preach over and over again, is put your own oxygen mask on first. And that falls under emotional, financial, personal, the whole thing. If you are not taking care of you first, you are no good for anybody. When we talk about the financial aspect, if you're not paying your bills, paying your mortgage and all of that, you cannot take care of anybody else. Yes, you can give all your money away to them, but you're not really taking care of them. You're just giving your money away. The personal thing, if you don't take care of your personal self, you're not going to be around for very long. And we've already talked about the emotional self. And then my second one is honor your emotions. And you're saying, well, how can finances involve my emotions? Well, oftentimes the things that we buy, the things that we acquire, the things that we put value on, there are emotions tied to those things. So we need to pay attention. If somebody is saying that they want, let's say your significant other says, I want to buy this house and you really want the other house. You know, you've got to listen to your emotions because they're telling you that you're not going to be happy in that choice. But you need to speak up and make sure that you are not just not putting on your own oxygen mask, that you are honoring yourself during those times as well. And then the third one is discover your very best friend in the whole wide world. And that is you. Your very best friend in the whole wide world is you. And you is never going to leave you. And when you need to have some of those hard, crazy conversations, grab a pen, grab some paper, and start talking to yourself. And you'd really be surprised at how that calms down a lot of that crazy, I call them hamsters on wheels, that start running in your head. But also celebrate everything. Celebrate the little, celebrate the big. If you say to yourself when you get up this or when you start Monday of the next week, you say, you know what? I'm only going to go to Starbucks 3 times this week. And each time you go to Starbucks, which is, you know, 3 times, say, yes, this is my first time. I've got 2 more. Yes. And then when you do the third and you don't do the fourth and the fifth, you celebrate that. if you make any kind of decision that you're making, anything that you're doing, celebrate it. Celebrate it. I stumbled across this when I started my journey, because I would go to McDonald's and through the drive-through, and automatically I would order a large Diet Coke with no ice and a Big Mac and a large fry. Well, I didn't need to eat all that food, but that was what I ordered. So when I started on the journey, I told myself, okay, you're going to drive through the drive-through, you're going to order a Diet Coke with no ice, and then you're going to close your mouth and not say another word after you say the Diet Coke. And so I placed my order, I closed my mouth. It was really hard to not order that Big Mac and large fries. I paid for my large Diet Coke, and I drove up, pulled up and away from where I paid, and I sat there and cheered for myself because I had done it. So when we make choices to do things, we need to celebrate them. And it doesn't make any difference how big or small it is. Celebrate.
Agreed. And I think many people out there don't do that, and that is such a big thing. You know, when people used to come and see me for weight loss, I had a special populations gym in another lifetime, and people would come in and they would say to me, oh, I stuffed up today. You know, I went out and I had a piece of cake with friends. And I'd say, but the rest of the week's been great. You've been in here nearly every day. So what if you had a piece of cake? Celebrate all the other days, because I could see these people wanted to give up. And what I used to say to them was, don't make a bad moment into a bad hour, a bad week, a bad month, a bad year. Because if you put yourself down for one thing, that's just going to snowball and you're not going to see all the good things that you've done for yourself.
Exactly, exactly. And the phrase that I developed for myself on those moments when I made not good choices, that was another thing. I did not include the word cheat in my vocabulary. What I realized is you can only cheat three ways. One is on income taxes, one is on a test, and the other is on your significant other. Everything else is a choice. So you've got great choices, good choices, and not so great choices. Okay, so when I would make a not so great choice, like you were talking about your clients, I would say, oh, well, and then I would let it go, because I recognized if I allowed myself to continue thinking about it and to beat myself up about it, and then we circle back around to that shaming thing, I was not going to accomplish my goal. And my goal was to live my very best life. And the way that I was going to live my very best life was to be healthy mentally, emotionally, and physically.
That's fantastic. Now, I guess the final question, in the title of this podcast, we have weight loss. I actually prefer to refer to it as weight release. But Leslie, if you've ever battled your weight, what was the trigger to lose it? And what can you offer the listeners to reduce their stress? Because we know stress is a key issue in weight problems.
Well, the trigger to lose my weight was my oldest son and his wife were having their first baby, which was going to be my very first grandchild. And they decided that I was not going to be part of their life. So it sent me back to when my own mother died, because she died 2 weeks before my oldest child was born, which was her first grandchild. And I hadn't really grieved that loss, even though at this point in time, it's been 37 years, because, you know, I had the baby. But anyway, the depth of my grief was just so unbearable. I mean, I called it the Marianas Trench. It was that deep. And it was just a glimpse of a moment. And I realized I had to make a choice that I could either continue down the path that I was going, which was going to absolutely destroy me mentally, physically, and emotionally, or I could choose to get better. And when they decided that I was going to be part of their life, I was going to be the very best version of me that I possibly could be. And so I made that decision. And the hardest thing that I had to do was I walked into a Weight Watchers you know, and announce, you know, I want to lose the weight. Well, what I discovered is losing the weight was actually the easy part. The hard part was doing the emotional healing and learning to be emotionally healthy. The hard part was learning, was recognizing when I was stressed or when I was sad or when I was angry, that I needed to do something else besides going for the food or besides lashing out. So I had to learn how to start naming what I was feeling and also how to be kind to myself when I was feeling those things. A phrase that I added into my vocabulary was, I can only imagine how you're feeling right now. I can only imagine that, if, you know, when this happened, how you felt. And it really made a difference because I was acknowledging to myself that, of course, I had feelings about this. Of course I did. Why wouldn't I have these feelings? And that was really the turning point. But like I said, the hard part of the hard work was doing the emotional healing and learning to be emotionally healthy. I told somebody the other day, if I would have known how hard it was going to be, I don't know that I would have taken it on, but at the same time, I'm incredibly grateful that it was hard because it's in the hard things that we learn how to change, and the change becomes more permanent.
Couldn't agree more. Absolutely fantastic message. And so that's all the main topic of your book, You Can't Eat Love, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That is the main topic of the book.
Fantastic. Now, we do like to offer freebies here. This podcast is all about giving and educating and building that tribe. So what freebie can you offer the listeners?
Well, I thought in keeping with what your big message is, which is, you know, honoring ourselves emotionally and financially and physically, I have a journal and I'm offering a one day, it's about 7 pages of the guided journal so that people can download that and go through one day, and there are writing prompts in there, but there are also 3 pages where you can just have a conversation with your very best friend in the whole wide world, and you can make as many copies of it as you want. I also, in case you can't get to the show notes for whatever reason, I also have put it on my website, which is youcaneatlove.com/magic. And it will stay there into perpetuity. So if somebody is listening to this podcast 20 years from now, it will still be there.
I love that. That is so great. Thank you. Now, people can find you on Facebook at You Can't Eat Love and also on Instagram at you_can't_eat_love. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been so great to chat to you in a kindred spirit, I feel. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And yes, from listening to your podcast, I was so excited to talk to you because I felt as if I was talking to just an amazing friend that I've known forever. So thank you for what you're doing.
That's brilliant. Thank you. Now, before we let you go, in our next episode, we have a listener question coming up. Is there anything burning on your mind that you'd like us to explore?
If you could choose one thing to change that would make your life better, what would it be and why would you choose that?
Consider it done. That will be our episode 77. For now, listeners, thank you so much, Leslie, for all your time and your expertise today. It's been fantastic chatting with you. Listeners, go forth and create your magical life. Thanks for listening today. Please subscribe to hear future episodes, leave a review, and share this podcast. You can follow us on Facebook at A Magical Life Podcast or at Holistic Natural Health Australia. That's holistic with a W. You can find us on Instagram at Holistic Natural Health or at www.holisticnaturalhealth.com. magicallife.com.au. That's where you'll access all sorts of articles, freebies, and more.